I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Justin Dixon. He is the founder of Hire Tomorrow. They are an executive search firm specializing in helping private equity firms, startups, and mid-sized companies build the right leadership team to scale. Justin's done an Ironman in Arizona, which seems bold to me. He's also the host of Growth Capital Podcast, where he interviews private equity leaders, portfolio company CEOs, and founders to uncover insights on scaling businesses. Beyond recruiting, Justin is an angel investor, a real estate investor, and an endurance athlete, including completing the aforementioned Ironman. Justin, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I should have mentioned you also live in Austin, which is pretty
cool. That's right. Yeah, we should have done this in real person, in real life, as they say, right?
Well, we could if I have a studio set up for that, but I don't. Oh, well.
Fair enough.
But yeah, you're up in Cedar Park, kind of, which is northwest of Austin, and Bee Cave, which is a little bit southwest, or
yep,
I guess technically due west, but we consider ourselves southwest.
It's great.
Yeah, it's, you know, it was funny. When I first moved to Austin, I was having breakfast with a buddy up at Kirby Lane, up, I think, off 183 or somewhere up in North Austin.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I looked at the guy I was having breakfast with. And I said, "You know, I don't think any of our waitresses or waiters are qualified to work here." And he said, "Why is that?" I said, "They limit themselves to one piercing and they don't have any tattoos." And he laughed. He's like, "Well, you're used to South Austin. It's different up here."
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, it's funny because when my wife and I moved here 5 years ago, I feel like everybody that we meet lives in South Austin. So it's very, very rare that we find people at networking events or whatever that live north of the river. And for people that don't know Austin, people live north of the river stay north of the river, and people live south of the river stay south of the river. Traffic is a nightmare of going crossing over. So yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm like barely south of the river. You know, I mentioned that I live next to a nature preserve.
Yeah.
And I, you know, if I go down the preserve, literally just steps from my house, I can be down at the river in about 40 minutes.
Mm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice. I used to go swimming off that. And the last time I went swimming was just a few days before I got COVID, which ended very, very well, not as badly as others, but I went in the hospital for 3 months.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if I have the lungs to swim because there's a little bit of a current in Lake Austin.
Yeah.
And so I've been scared to, because it's, and it's really deep water there. So I've been scared to jump off the pier and into that current.
Yeah, no, that definitely don't want to risk it. That would, could end poorly for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, well, I mean, so first let's talk about the Ironman. That's kind of interesting. What compelled you to do an Ironman? What drives you to make health a focus or athletic?
I grew up playing soccer. So, and then I never had done an Ironman, never did a triathlon. And then I had known a couple of friends that had done an Ironman, and I was looking for something challenging for 2022. And so the New Year's Eve before, I told my wife, I was like, I'm going to do an Ironman. And like I said, I didn't own a bike. I hadn't been in a pool to swim laps since I was probably 7 or 8. So I had to learn how to swim properly. I had to get a bike and actually learn how to ride the bike, you know, like a road bike and like a tri bike. I'd done a few marathons, so I felt very comfortable about the run, but yeah, I decided to kind of jump in with both feet. So I did my first triathlon in May here in Austin, the CapTex, and then I progressed the distances for two more triathlons, one in Waco and one in Kerrville, and then I did the full Ironman in November in Arizona. So I kind of went entire year just focused on training while running my business and you know, trying to be a family man and all the other fun stuff. But a lot of my weekends were sat back here on this bike on my trainer, just spinning away, so I could hopefully not die and complete the Ironman, which was the goal. So yeah.
Wow. What's the elevation in was it in Phoenix? Was it in the Phoenix area or somewhere else?
It's in Tempe, so it's right on like Scottsdale, Tempe, right
Yeah.
by Arizona State University is right there. I don't know the elevation, but it's pretty low, I would think.
Is it lower than, because we're like 900 feet here.
Yeah, I would have to Google it to be completely honest. I'm guessing it's probably similar, but yeah, luckily it was in November and not like July or August when obviously it would have been very, very hot in Arizona. It was pretty temperate.
Wow. Yeah. And the reason I was asking, so when I was recovering from COVID, my legs were like a human altimeter. And I flew to Vegas once. And as soon as I landed, I'm walking through the airport, I'm like, I'm at a different elevation. You know, I could
Oh,
feel it in my
interesting.
legs. But of course, I was really sensitive to oxygen supply back then.
Yeah.
But it made me wonder because if you're doing all your training at one elevation, you're competing at another elevation, that can make a big difference.
Oh yeah, like we visited a friend of ours up it that lives. We have two friends that live in Colorado, just south of Denver, near Colorado Springs. And one friend we went and visited, they live kind of at the normal kind of mile high height. And then our other friend lived farther up into the mountains. And I mean, I wasn't run doing an Ironman or doing any running, but even just walking and hiking, you know, at the different elevations is completely different. So if you train at sea level or close to sea level where we are, and you try to do a race, you know, in the highlands, if you will, it's definitely a negative impact. However, if you train up north in like the elevation and do an event closer to sea level, I've talked to a buddy of mine, he does a bunch of endurance races, and he's like, I love training at elevation and then doing a race like in Austin because you feel like a Superman because you're able to breathe a lot better than people that just train locally. So yeah, that's why, you know, I watched a lot of Tour de France and a lot of cycling while I was sitting on my trainer. And so whenever they go and get prepared for the Tour de France or any of these big races, they do a lot of elevation training or altitude training. And so they train at high altitude because when you're going up the Alps and the Pyrenees, you go up to way higher altitudes than you know, where we were. So yeah, it's pretty
Yeah.
interesting.
You know, one time I was driving down Capital Texas Highway, you know, from 183, and I see the cyclist, and it looked like there was some car hounding him. I'm like, why are you hounding this poor guy? And as I got closer, I realized, oh no, that's a support vehicle. And as I pulled up side by side, I looked over, it was Lance Armstrong going down Capital Texas Highway.
Oh, that's crazy. That's
Yeah.
awesome. Yeah, I do not ride my bike outdoors in Texas. I've known way too many people that were either training for Ironmans or races and have been hit by cars. And yeah, so most of my training for the Ironman was in this room, stationary on the bike. I did a few outdoor rides, but in very contained areas near where I live. Just because, yeah, there's a lot of, I've heard about a lot of accidents from
Yeah.
like bicycles and cars and stuff. So I'd rather not put myself in harm's way as much as I possibly can.
So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about Hire Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Why did you start that? When did you start that?
Yeah, so just to back up 2 seconds, I've been in recruiting my entire career. Fell into the industry right out of college in 2006, worked for a big recruiting firm, and then kind of did what most people do and what I was taught from a financial kind of preparedness perspective was get a good job, invest in your 401k, and then hope you've got enough money in your retirement account when you're supposed to retire at 65 or 70 or whatever the time frame is. And so I was driving down that road, I was, you know, investing my 401k at a really good job at a big company. And then I read a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and it really kind of flipped the narrative in my brain around where I should be investing my time, my money. And I was married to my wife, and I was like, oh crap, my brain has kind of shifted. I'm thinking about maybe quitting my job at some point and building a business. Hopefully she's okay with that. And so luckily she read the book as well and had the same kind of epiphany that was like, wow, we're working, we're both working for the same company, Comcast. So we're building this, you know, we're small fish in a very massive Comcast pond, you know, helping to build this, you know, multi-billion dollar business, right? And so I was like, okay, I'm going to start a business. And I figured, why not start a business that I know a lot about? And that's recruiting. And so that's kind of what started the journey to really kind of go full force into starting this business. But one thing we did kind of leading up to starting the business was we're both risk averse people. And so we decided that I'm not the type of person that's going to quit a job without a plan to move forward. And so we spent about a year, year and a half getting our financial life in order. We, you know, saved a bunch of money. So we had a nest egg. We invested some money into two pieces or into a duplex out in Pittsburgh. We had owned a condo in Philadelphia. So we moved out of the condo into a small apartment in the suburbs so that we had two passive income, you know, properties that were generating some income. And while all of our friends were expanding their lifestyles, they were buying houses and buying bigger cars and moving to the suburbs and having kids, we were doing the opposite. We were shrinking our lifestyle, trying to shrink our expenses as much as we possibly could so that if I launched my business or when I launched my business, all of our expenses were covered by my wife's salary. So essentially setting us up so that I could go full force and you know, start this business. And then I did. I quit my a nice six-figure job in January of 2020 to start Hire Tomorrow, right as COVID was starting. So it was very, very poor timing to start a business right before COVID, especially a recruiting business. But we're still here, and yeah, it's been a journey for sure.
You know, the thing I've seen about COVID is it really separated people. And I know one guy, I'm not going to say his name, but I know one guy who had a Rolodex that anybody would love to have, just the most amazing Rolodex. And when right before COVID hit, he sold his business and he decided he would go on the speaking circuit and become a keynote speaker. And I was talking to him. Like a few months after I got out of the hospital, I was in the hospital for 3 months. I shouldn't be here. I should be dead. And I'm talking to him a few months out of the hospital, and he's just like crying the blues about how hard COVID was. Like, oh, thanks. Well, it nearly killed me, but hey, yeah, let's talk about you.
Yeah, it's all relative, depending, yeah.
But the thing that shocked me was he's like, yeah, it just completely ruined me. I was trying to start this keynote business, and I just remember thinking, you completely suck. I'd had so much respect for this guy. It's like you have a Rolodex that anybody would envy.
Yeah.
And you couldn't figure out how to turn that into money during COVID?
Yeah. Yeah,
Where's your imagination?
I think a lot of people went into their shell. I think, you know, obviously it was obviously difficult for everybody. Some people like yourself, you know, almost lost their lives. Some people did, right? And so me starting a business and having the challenge of starting a business is, again, it's relative, but I think some people that I know, they went into their shell, they pulled the rip cord. I know a few people that had started businesses years prior, got scared and were like, I don't know how that long this is going to last. And they went back into the W-2 workforce. Fair enough. And so I didn't have that luxury necessarily because, you know, there were days where I thought about what the heck have I done? I've essentially ruined you know, my wife and I's financial lives. You know, my career is ended, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so even if I wanted to try to go back into the W-2 world as a recruitment leader or something like that, nobody's hiring. So it's like I couldn't even, you know, there was no fallback. It was really just keep pushing, get through it as best I possibly could. Luckily, I had a very, very supportive wife and still do. And, you know, it was not an easy, call it 12 months, but it was, to your point, it kind of set me up to say, okay, well, if I can get through that, I can get through pretty much anything business-wise, right? And so, yeah, I think it made some businesses very resilient, especially if you started or very early in your entrepreneurial journey during COVID. And others, it kind of weeded out the weak and you know, it made the ones that stuck through it more prosperous once we got out of 2020 and into 2021. And then everybody was hiring and people were working remotely and moving all over the country and salaries were inflated. So from a recruiting firm perspective, it was great at that
Oh, yeah.
point. And we had moved to Austin. My wife got a job offer down here and with a tech startup, and we moved here sight unseen. We'd never been to Austin. So, you know, she got the job offer. And I remember her telling me, I'm like, well, we don't have to move. They're like fully remote. She's like, I'm moving to Austin. So if you want to come, I'll see you there, or you can stay here. So we moved to Austin, and yeah, it's been an interesting, ride our last, 5 years.
So, what were the things, what were the opportunities you saw during COVID that helped you thrive? Because a lot of businesses died.
Yeah. I would say, I think I'll use thrive in a little bit of a different kind of word or way, because the business itself, Hire Tomorrow, did not overwhelmingly thrive in 2020. However, I used that opportunity to help other people that were W-2 employees that got laid off or fired or whatever. I kind of donated a lot of my time to help people try to navigate the job market and help them navigate what life was like to look for a job in 2020 when everything was now fully remote or fully remote for most jobs, right? And so I spent a lot of time, free time, just talking to people, explaining to them what the job and recruiting process looks like from a recruiter's perspective. Because everybody thinks I create a resume for the hiring manager, the person's going to actually make me an offer. Well, that's not really the case. You're making a resume to get through the recruiter, through the ATS, and then to the hiring manager. So a lot of people don't realize that there are other steps in the process before your resume lands on your ultimate potential of future boss's desk. And so I talked to a lot of people a lot about, like, the resume and how to interview and how to talk to recruiters and how to negotiate with recruiters and how, what incentivizes a recruiter. It's different if you're a corporate recruiter or if you're an agency recruiter. And so I just used that time to really help other people as much as I possibly could, and then really lean on a lot of the network that I had built. I definitely don't have a Rolodex like your friend, it sounds like. And luckily I had a few clients that really, they were hiring and they gave me the opportunity to work with them. And I'm grateful for them that they were able to do that. And then at least get me through that first year. I made about half as much money in 2020 as I did in 2019 as a W-2 employee. But then it was off the races, like I said, in 2021. So it was just more, I kind of took a breath and made sure that I gave back and not just, I didn't just sit in my home or my apartment and sulk, because I could have done that. It would have been super easy to do that. I started training for a trail run. I'd never done trail runs before. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to reset a little bit, focus on helping people as much as I can. And eventually that will pay off. Business will come. We'll get through this. And of course, we never knew exactly what was going to happen, but I kind of hopefully, I was hoping that that would not last forever, and luckily it didn't.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? And I forget who it was, but it was one of the Hollywood studio execs. He would take like an hour every morning and he'd call four or five or six people, just real short phone call. Hey, what are you working on? How can I support what you're doing? And he did that every day.
Interesting.
And the net result was eventually a lot of these people became famous, or some of those people
Yep.
became famous. And by giving an advance, they pulled him up. And it sounds
Yep.
like that was kind of what you were doing during COVID.
Yeah, I would say I didn't have a thought or a strategy around it, to be honest. It was more or less, I have a skill set because I've only done recruiting. It's all I've ever done in my life. I've helped pretty much every industry you can think of. I've hired everything from a CEO to a forklift driver and everything in between. And so I was just like, I have experience, I have knowledge, and I can share that with people that are struggling. And if you looked at LinkedIn and social media, obviously there was a lot of posts out there where people were like, I can't make, my rent payments or whatever. I need a job. And not that I could give them a job, but I could at least hopefully give them some skills and some lessons that they can then hopefully put themselves in a better position to find a job, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, I didn't have a real goal. It was really just like, it was partially selfish for me to not just sit at my home and do nothing. It was really to just like, okay, well, I need a purpose to get out of bed in the morning. I need a purpose to get up. And that was kind of the goal and the purpose for a few months until business started to come in. And then it was heads down, fill as much business as I possibly could, because that's how I make money, is helping companies find people, and just kept riding the roller coaster, if you will. And luckily it's been good ever since kind of 2021 turned over. So
Well, another thing that you said as a marketer that just kind of filled my heart with joy when I heard you say it was know who you're speaking to. You think you're speaking to the hiring manager, you have a recruiter. And I mean, and that's just like, as a marketer, I'm like, That's like one of the most central concepts. Who are you talking to?
Yep.
I know people that are like, well, our customers are exclusively CEOs. I'm like, I hope your strategy is not only to reach CEOs, but to
Right.
reach the people who have the ear of the CEO. And what do they need to hear?
Yep.
For the podcast, it's funny. I have people occasionally an email gets through and somebody's like pitching me directly for the podcast. And I don't, I, you know, when the way I got your name was you made it through Elena's filter. Elena's the one who figures out who she recommends to me. And I do kind of a final review. And it's funny, a lot of people don't understand, whether it's a podcast or a job, you're probably not pitching to the person you think you're pitching to.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, and this is not a true in all scenarios, but most recruiters have not done the job they're recruiting for, right? I've placed a lot of software engineers. I've never coded a day in my life and don't know what actually that looks like, right? I've placed a lot of CPAs and accountants and investment professionals. I'm not an accountant or an investment professional. So, part of what I would tell people is like you should really have two resumes. You should have one that is your application and recruiter resume that is very geared to the job description so that they can quickly look at your resume amongst all of the other applicants that they have or all the other candidates that they're looking at and say, yep, this person looks good enough for me to move forward with and spend more time with. And then you have the really pretty one that you have that's a PDF that is got, cool fonts and colors and whatever. And that's the one that you save and send as an email to the recruiter once you've made it to that first round of interviews. Say, hey, here's my updated resume. I just want to make sure you have the most recent one. Because while AI is solving a lot of problems in the world, they still haven't solved the parsing problem with applicant tracking systems and resumes. It's getting better, but you should really get a resume that is something you use to apply that's very informational, not as attractively looking, unless you're a graphic designer. That's maybe the only anomaly. And then you have another resume that you are saving that is really pretty that you essentially send to the recruiter or the hiring manager once you get to that stage of the interview. That takes work, effort. Some people don't want to do that. So, but that's the whole goal is to get your goal for a resume is to get yourself past the recruiter. They are the gatekeeper. They have the power to say yes or no. People don't realize that. I don't know why, but I have the power to say, yep, Craig, you look great, or nope, I don't like the way you put that on your resume. I'm not going to move you forward. And some recruiters have good days and bad days, and you may catch them on a bad day and your resume doesn't get through and you don't know why.
Yeah. It's funny. There have been a number of situations where I was trying to persuade somebody that I knew I would never be able to talk to directly. And my goal was to be the most memorable person in their day without being able to talk to them directly.
Yeah.
And so it would be a number of things like there was actually like a recent example. There was somebody who coaches people about how to come on camera and how to do all that. And I was sitting in a conference. That's where I got her QR code, scheduled a time, former, news anchor.
Okay.
And I had to reschedule the interview. And so I started off the email, the subject line, "It's been one of those days in Texas." And I started off saying, "The morning began with me going to the toilet and seeing a scorpion in the toilet. And the question was I going to conserve water and not flush, or would I flush first and then use the toilet?" And I said, then the next problem was my AC broke. And that's kind of an issue in Texas. And
Yeah.
the first appointment I could get was during our scheduled time. Would you mind if we rescheduled? And I guarantee you, I was the most memorable person in her day.
Yeah, I bet. That's for sure.
And so, if I'm hearing you right, what you're saying is if you're trying to talk to a recruiter, you want to be at least one of the more memorable people in their day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you get on the phone with a recruiter, yes, you want to be as aligned with what they're looking for as you possibly can without lying, but also have a little bit of a hook because, again, recruiters are just like anybody else, they're humans and they have 3 seconds to look at a resume to say yes or no if they're going to spend more time or they're going to pass. And that's real because they're overworked like a lot of people in the working world. And so if you can get on a call with a recruiter, be respectful of their time. They are going to be respectful of yours. Know that they have a job to do, that their job is to take the top of the funnel applicants and people that they find and whittle it down to a handful of people that they deem qualified enough to move forward to the hiring manager. So make sure that you check as many boxes as you possibly can, do all your research, and then, be able to explain in a very succinct way why they should move you forward. And ask them at the end of the interview, based on the conversation we've just had, do you feel that I'm qualified for this role? And would you recommend moving me forward to the next round? Nobody asks that. Very few people ask that, but that puts the recruiter on the spot. Some people will lie and say, sure, I'd love to move you forward. Others don't. But yeah, it's all about getting to the next phase. Just like anything, it's like be good enough to get the next round and then wow them when you get to the actual meat and potatoes, and that's talking to the hiring team, essentially.
Okay. Now, we have a lot of business owners that listen to this show. And as we wrap up, here's your chance. What is it business owners should know that they don't know when working with a recruiter?
There's a lot. I mean, this is, I would say the biggest thing that you should really think about when you're talking to a recruiter is know who the person is that's actually going to be doing the recruiting. Meaning, who is a person? Like, if you're working with an agency like myself, if let's say my salesperson sells you the business, they say, hey, Craig, we'd love to help you hire a CPA, right? Justin is going to be the person that's doing the recruiting. You, as a business owner, want to talk to Justin. You want to talk to the recruiter that's actually going to be selling to the candidate why they should think about joining your company. Because if you think that my salesperson who sold the business to you is the person doing the recruiting, they most likely are not. Sometimes it's a 22-year-old kid that doesn't know their ass from their elbow, like I was when I first started. But you want to give that recruiter all the ammo that they need to make sure that they can find the best talent for you, because your time is money. If you're a business owner and you're the one doing the recruiting, you're probably a small business. So you need to spend as little time as possible wasting time with bad candidates. So giving that recruiter the most information they need is going to save you a lot of time.
Very cool. Well, Justin, this has been fascinating. Thanks for coming on. How can people reach you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all over LinkedIn, so check me out on LinkedIn. My email is just jdixon, that's Dixon, at hiretomorrow.com.
Excellent. And you're the host of the Growth Capital Podcast.
Correct. Yeah, check me out. We interview startup founders, CEOs of private equity-backed companies, and people that are in the investing world. So it's an opportunity for startup founders to talk about what they do, why they started businesses, similar to kind of the conversations that I'm sure you have. Yeah, it's a lot of fun talking about the M&A world.
Very cool. Well, hey, Justin, thanks for coming on Leaders and Legacies.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate it.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.